Welcome to Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. Joyous conversations about what the afterlife evidence and modern science combine to tell us is true about our one reality. You have nothing to fear. You are eternal and you are perfectly loved. Knowing the truth changes everything. Now, here's Roberta.
One of the gifts to come to humankind from our better understanding the greater reality in which we live is the fact that we realize now that everything that exists is energy. And there are so many insights coming to us from that great overriding fact. It's all energy. One of them is that material medicine often can't really hold a candle to the use of energy in healing. The future's here, but we still don't really know how to manage it. Welcome to Seek Reality. I'm Roberta Grimes, and our guest today is the wonderful Sherry Pearl. She was on with us just a few months ago, but I've since realized that Sherry is the leading expert in an area that I really want to talk about. She's a shining example for all of us of the strength and courage that it sometimes does take to overcome what can seem like insurmountable health obstacles. And she details her journey in her upcoming book, which is an expansion of the other book that she wrote, which I also have read. This one is called Healing from the Inside Out and the Outside In, and that's the part that I think is really important for us to understand. We have never before here talked about energy healing on Seek Reality. I frankly know almost nothing about it. Sherry is the perfect person to introduce us to what is soon going to be an important part of healthcare for all of us. Welcome, Sherry. I'm thrilled to have you here.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm thrilled to be here, Roberta.
Now, when we last talked with Sherry, it was about the sudden death of her child and what she has been able to do with him and what she is doing now to help other bereaved parents. And we're going to talk about that toward the end of this podcast, so you won't have to go look up the other one if that's an area that really interests you. But what I'd like to do today is stress the fact that we're talking here to a woman who is not quite my age, but not that much younger.
Not
healthy,
much.
and healthy, living a reasonably healthy life. Not that any of us has perfect health, but a reasonably healthy life.
Yep.
But when she was young, she almost died. Tell us briefly how that happened. You suddenly became very ill. And how old were you? You were very young.
Well, I was 16 years old when first symptoms of Crohn's disease made themselves known to me. At the time, I was the biggest non-believer in anything esoteric. I believed only in Western medicine, as did my parents. And so we pursued nothing but Western medicine. And we're talking about 1967,
yeah,
when I was 16. So, you know, these ideas were far from the mainstream. After I had had Crohn's disease, which for those who do not know what Crohn's is, it is inflammatory bowel disease, also called ileitis. There's also colitis. Those names may be more common. It creates tremendous pain and discomfort anytime you eat or drink anything. A lot of running to the bathroom. It's a really hard illness, and it hits a lot of young people, and it's very hard on them. I had heard, after I'd been suffering for a year, about a man in Britain whose name was Harry Edwards, who healed people from clear across the ocean. It was a most amazing thing to hear. I didn't believe it was possible. And you know how that is, Roberta, when your mind is closed.
Of course. But now, you were 17 or 18 at the time then, when you first...
Now, I was 17.
I was
17 when I first heard about it. I refused to contact him because I thought it was the biggest pile of you-know-what.
Of course.
And so I went through another year, and the disease progressed.
Her book is so touching and so painful to read when you read about her illnesses that I actually have developed tummy pains today just from the fact that I have just reread her book. So it's a wonderful, touching story, and you're rooting so hard for her to find what is going to get her out of this. I mean, we've all been young. To be young and to find your life destroyed this way when before you're even 20 years old is a terrible thing.
And the hardest year of my life was 1969 when I was 18 because the disease became so very aggressive that I was hemorrhaging from the bowel. And in order to stop me from bleeding, I was given many surgeries as well as blood transfusions. And in the blood transfusions, I contracted hepatitis C. So I came out of 1969 with all of my colon removed except for 4 inches. You have 120 inches of colon. And
pressure every inch. That's
let me tell you.
Thing. Oh, you only ended up with 4 inches?
That's all I have, yes. It's
from
a huge colon deficiency.
You were younger than 20 when this started, and you're now in your 60s. Wow.
I'm 65, babe. I'm pushing 70, so they took out almost all my colon, and it was discovered shortly after that when I started to, you know, have other forms of symptoms that I had a liver disease. And then after 6 months of bed rest with no change, they realized, oops, this must be the chronic form, which they were only learning about in 1970. They really didn't know about it. So now you're down the line. It started in 67. And as we move into 1971, it's when I was 20 then. I was born in 51. And that's when finally I was so desperate. And I realized I had nothing to lose. And I guess my bravado of thinking I knew everything had kind of, you know, all that got shook up from being so sick and nearly dying in surgeries. I realized maybe I didn't know everything there was to know. Right. And eventually my mind just opened to the possibility that maybe there was things in this world I didn't know about. And it was, that was the turning point where I remembered what I had heard about the man in England. And the doctors had told my parents to give money to research and hope that they would come up with a cure, because in the absence of a cure, I would not live another 10 years. And I just didn't want to accept that. And I had seen that the medical cures for Crohn's weren't worth much. And seemingly out of nowhere came the memory of this man in England, and something in me said, let's give it a try.
Wow. So you contacted Harry Edwards.
Harry Edwards. Well, my father's friend, who'd been a British gentleman, had given us the information. So my father had an office in England, and they called the sanctuary, who said, just have her write a letter. Tell us about what's been going on. I was just in a state of shock because no one in the medical profession would even talk to me until I took off my clothes and let them poke me all over. And they said, just send a letter. I was floored, but I figured, what, you know, I have nothing to lose. And so, you know, freedom's just another word for nothing left to lose.
That's true.
Right.
Oh, is that true?
Yeah. And so my father, who to the day he passed, teased me about this, the spirit doctors, offered to hand deliver the letter because he was going to England on business. And he saw Mr. Edwards on a Thursday. The next night, Friday night, my dad had not yet returned. I had read no books on the subject. I had no concept of what spiritual healing was, but I had so much energy. I was flying.
Wow.
And can you imagine? And I had
so
these feelings.
So he had only read the letter and done something and connected with you, and already he was healing you.
Well, it was within 24 hours. And again, it wasn't a faith healing. It wasn't the I believe kind of thing, because I didn't believe anything. I
right.
You know, and people will often say, well, you know, you changed your beliefs. And what changed was my mind went from completely closed to completely open. But it wasn't a faith healing. It was just a shock. But my dad came back a few days later and said to me, well, he looks like an ordinary man to me. And he tossed me a couple of books, which I started reading avidly, because I still could not understand how this energy reached me in New Jersey all the way from England.
Right.
You know, and because I didn't understand anything about distance healing. And then I started reading Mr. Edwards' books. And he said he did not work alone, that he worked with a team of spirit doctors. And that absolutely blew my mind, because I didn't believe in spirits at that time.
Yes.
But
this is a stretch. But you were young. I think we should stress that. You were young and you were desperate.
I was young. And I'll tell you what else. I felt the energy. I couldn't see it, but I could feel it. And you know what you experience. You know, I have a feeling of tingling in my right side where the liver is, like pins and needles, and I have energy for the first time in years. And
wow.
You know, I just kept walking around telling my mom, something's going on. And she was just glad I was having a good night. But, you know, you know your experience. And to this day, if a doubt would ever arise, I just have to go back to what happened to know that despite that I cannot see to this day an apparition, I know they are there and I know it is real because I experienced it.
Wow. Okay. So you immediately started to feel better, and you were supposed to report back to him by letter, right?
That's what we did.
I should just mention to those of you who are, you know, younger than 30, back then we didn't have email. Back then, mail sure. seemed pretty fast to us.
Well, that's what we relied on, you know, and he answered all my letters. This went on for a number of months. I would write to him, and I would go for my monthly set of blood tests. Mind you, I had gone from November to May with no fluctuation, contacted Harry in June, went for my June blood tests a couple weeks later, and was told that they had jumped one-third of the way towards a normal. Now, that, you know, that was so exciting. And
wow.
And this went on. Yeah.
And this was nothing the medical doctors did. This was purely what you actually could feel happening. Long distance, England to New Jersey. You were being healed by energy because Harry Edwards had a connection with spirit doctors who actually were doing this work. Am I saying that correctly?
You are saying it so correctly.
Okay, that's
great. I couldn't have said it better. And then what he went on to say was that the spirit doctors would often approach the patient while they were asleep because their mind would be more open, and that the spirit doctor could then direct energy to the emotional dis-ease that could be underlying the disease, as well as direct energy to the physical, you know, that would interpenetrate from the spirit into the physical body, which was the part of healing from the inside out, meaning that it started on the spirit level and then spread out into the physical layers of the body.
Wow. So you were, this continued to happen. You were communicating with him. He was working with the doctors.
Mm-hmm.
And for how long and then till, and you were already one third of the way toward normal results.
Right. And then that was in June. And then in September, I had another set and they had jumped another third of the way towards normal, at which time I moved up to Cambridge, Mass with my first husband and my ex-husband. And he was in Harvard Business School, and I was taking courses in just deep breathing. I took yoga breathing, which helped me learn to breathe, and I'm writing to Harry. And at this time, I'm also writing for other people who I know are having problems, but not telling them because I knew they'd think I was crazy, and observing that some of them were getting better. They didn't even know healing was being sought to them. So this now became a way of life to me, and I'm very, very excited. Harry Edwards became, you know, like my middle name.
I know, but all right. No, so let's understand what you were doing. You were asking for healing for other people.
I would write to Harry for other people, and I would have cousins who, over the years, when Harry was still physically in his body, would call me up and go, "Sherry, call England for me," because they would. Uptight to make the phone call. So I call the sanctuary and give them the name of whoever it was. And that went on for years while Harry was still on the earth. He passed in 1976. But to finish my story, that was September, I told you, when it was two-thirds of the way towards normal. And then in December of that year, I went for my tests on a Monday. And I was, at this point, very, very excited because I knew that if things were really real, if this was really real, then I would have to be much, much better by now. And so I had the blood test taken on a Monday, and I was so nervous for that call on Friday. And when I called, the doctor said to count my blessings, that there's no real explanation for this, but that my tests are pretty much on target. Now, I was thrilled. Because here's the turning point. Because we didn't have internet and nothing was instantaneous, I sat down that night to write Harry a letter to tell him the good news. but I've never was a quick letter writer, and I had not even finished my letter when the next day I went to my mailbox, and there was a letter from Harry Edwards, and it read, "Dear friend, I feel that the healing has finally reached you, and you will be having tests this week, which will prove to you the good news that healing has taken place." I know. So when this happens, you know, please write to us so we can confirm this. And it was at that point where I said, okay, you know, now I don't care what anybody says. Now I know definitively that something paranormal happened, because no one else knew I was having those blood tests but me and my family.
So you were a woman with Crohn's disease. You had four inches of worse. There should have been 120 inches of intestines.
Well,
and you were living, and you were living with liver disease too. And everyone was saying you got 10 years at most. You contacted Harry Edwards. He did his
magic
with his non-physical doctor friends.
Right.
And within less than
six months.
Within 6 months, your tests were normal. You hadn't changed medication. You didn't go off anything.
I hadn't done anything of the kind. Plus, he knew the results of the test before I did, because his letter was in the mail Saturday in my mailbox, which means it had to leave England by Monday. And the blood was drawn on Monday. I didn't know until Friday. And that's when I said, you know what? This is definitive proof to
me. It's wonderful. Yeah.
That something's going on here. And it was at that point where I said, I am going to make this my study. I have to know. You know, if there's spirit doctors flying around, I want to know more. And that's what started me on what is now a 45-year exploration of spiritual healing and mediumship as well, which fascinates me. And all I can say is there is so much more, as you know, to this world, to what we are, than what we can see and detect with the five senses alone. And it not only interacts with our world, it wants to do us well. The energy of the next realm, they it's not only our ancestors, but our loved ones, but so many beings who want to help. And to know that is to have a certain kind of peace, to learn to connect with it and draw upon it, is for each person to learn how to be a healer, and at least for self-healing, which is what I try to teach.
Yes, I think that's an extraordinarily important point. What you have discovered, and frankly, what gives me peace every day and moment of my life, is that all of reality is full of unseen beings who love us. We've never known them in this world. They love us, and they're there to help us.
Oh,
anything
word.
They can do for us is not too much. So
I have no idea.
Yeah, but knowing that, how can anybody worry about anything? I mean, really.
Well, but they don't know it. And we've been so blindsided by what William Blake calls single vision, you know, where we only see the physical as real. And we've been raised that way. We have a society that thinks you and I are nuts, my dear. And how sad, because they're missing the peace that would give them the peace of mind we all long for. Evan Alexander has a quote that I adore. I think actually it's from him, and it's in one of his books, probably The Map of Heaven, where he says, "Heaven makes us human. You know, without knowledge of the greater geography of where we came from and where we will go after we die, we are lost." And I believe that that's the case, that people are not aware of the bigger picture, and so their values are so... It's like, get in all the living that you can, because, you know, that, you know, it's like they don't, even all the greed, it has to come from the sense that if I don't get it in now, I'm never going to get it.
Yeah,
they don't realize.
It's all fear-based, yes. I mean, this is, my previous 2 weeks, I've spent in the wonderful conversations I've been able to have, first with Gary Schwartz about his soul phone development, and then with our friend Craig Hogan about what he's doing with the North American Station.
Oh, I'm so excited about it.
Isn't it thrilling? And both of those
yes.
projects and others that we aren't, I'm not even aware of, they're going on all over the world, are very soon going to make it impossible for anybody to deny that the dead survive. And when people get that what Dr. Alexander said is true, it interpenetrates our space. We were told that 150 years ago, and that turns out to be true. When people really get that their minds are eternal, you're absolutely right. No more trying to get mine here. I want to get mine there, because that's what's real. This is just a weird illusion. It's going to change everything about the
of
way
of course it'll
think.
Change, and even enrich what's here, because the bottom line is, illusion or not, there's a reason we choose to
yes.
incarnate and come into it
yes.
and to experience it and all of its ramifications, because, and I think it was Bruce Lipton who said, someone asked him once, what does chocolate mean to the spirit? You know, all of a sudden you realize, wow, I mean, when you realize that you don't have to be so fear-based, that you'll be okay
yes.
one way or another, you'll be sustained after this life, you can chill, you can also realize it's like stepping into a virtual reality when you step into a physical body.
Yes.
You step into it and it can taste and it can feel and
yes.
it can hear. You know, there's so many things that we should be able to enjoy it. Even if it is an illusion, it's a wonderful one. It can be a wonderful one.
Yes,
you know?
Yes, true. Yes, but it does contain issues and pains, which we're told that we build these into our lives. That the dead would tell us that, in fact, that Sherry, you chose to have these challenges in this life.
Yes.
So that you
right.
could have the opportunity to grow as you're growing.
No
right?
question. I don't doubt it. But I've also gotten to a point at the ripe old age of 65 as to say that I hold all these concepts as hypotheses rather than the truth. Because what do we really know for sure? I can tell you what I know for sure, and that is that personality survives death.
That's
and
right.
not because I believe, but because I've been in conversation with so many of them for
yeah.
so many years through such incredible mediums that I know who I'm talking to.
Oh,
but
of course.
In terms of, is it soul choice? Is it karma? Is it, you know, is it God's choice? I get to the point where I go, what do we really know for sure? I do believe, the hypothesis I choose to believe is that it was my soul choice. It certainly makes sense, and God knows, it certainly makes me feel a lot better to think that the fact that I didn't become the dancer I wanted to be as a young woman wasn't that anything went wrong, but that things went the way that my soul intended them to.
Yes.
It certainly is a far better way to live, but I would not put my life on the line anymore for any of those ideas because, and if anyone buys healing from the inside out and the outside in, they will read about my little fall from grace when I was what I now call a new age asshole, because I thought that I now have the truth in capital letters, and therefore I didn't need doctors. And you know, I went from one extreme, from being only medical science and all that rest of that stuff, hokum, to this is real, and I'll never go to a doctor again kind of stuff. And it's all told in the story, but at some point in time I had a recurrence of Crohn's, and I would not go to a doctor.
I want to talk about this at more depth, because I think it's time to bring in your Seth experiences and your conclusions, which I think are extremely important. But let's just pause for a moment. This is Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. My nonfiction books are Liberating Jesus, My Thomas, The Fun of Dying, The Fun of Staying in Touch, and soon now, The Fun of Growing Forever. You can learn about all my books and find my blog at robertagrimes.com. Now, our guest today is a really delightful person. I've met Sherry Pearl. She's just a bundle of energy and delight, frankly. I mean, just to be around you, you sort of radiated at this point in your life. But let's talk about, as part of your seeking, you started to visit with Jane Roberts and had personal experiences of the Seth gatherings,
oh,
right?
Oh, yeah, because I settled at some point on a race farm. I'm raising little racehorses in upstate New York. The farm was in a little town called Chemung, which was 30 minutes east of Elmira, New York, which is where Jane Roberts lived and held the ESP classes. So I went from learning about healing from Harry Edwards to learning about mediumship from Harry Edwards, who had been very close friends with a medium by the name of Jack Weber. And they spent a year sitting, developing Jack's gift. He was a physical medium, and he could do a lot of the things David Thompson is doing. So I read that book, The Mediumship of Jack Weber, and I was fascinated with the idea of mediumship. Now that I knew there was this world that contained all these beings that were willing to help us heal, and I'd experienced it, I now heard that there were people who could actually speak, hear them, or allow them to speak directly through them. And then I was told there was a medium only 25 minutes from me who spoke for an entity who called himself Sesh, and that it was great stuff, and I was immediately drawn to the classes. So I got the number, and I called Jane, and she said I could come, and I walked in one day, and it was a mind-blowing event. I actually met the man I've been married to for 30-some-odd years now in those classes. It was like some enchanted evening. You may see a stranger.
Another wonderful story in your wonderful book. I've never read the Seth materials. That was my early decision, that I was not going to read any later channeled work until I was forced to do it. But I have no doubt that it's real and it's valuable. So tell people what it was like to experience Jane Roberts channeling Seth.
Well, for the first few times, I was almost terrified. Jane was a small little woman, and she'd be sitting down in her little chair, and the students were very boisterous and noisy and full of themselves, so I was always a little intimidated. And they'd be talking, and someone would say something that would get Seth interested in joining the conversation. And he would take Jane's glasses and throw them down on the coffee table and just start speaking in this boisterous, booming voice. It was really amazing to watch the transformation, because Jane's neck would seem to get thicker and bulge more, and it was like a more masculine personality and look came over her. The voice changed distinctly. At one time I had said that Seth had an accent, and he came through and said, "I do not have an accent. You have an accent. I always speak this way."
Oh, isn't that funny?
But what I think is very fascinating, and I try to explain this to people when they are trying to do their own electronic voice productions and they get scared, or they hear the voices and they sound scary, that Seth said that he knew that the voice sounded harsh, and yet that was so not his intention, but that the mechanics of coming through Jane made it hard for his voice to be portrayed in as light as he would have liked it to be. So that we have that to go through as well.
People are wondering, how can this happen? The deep trance mediums at the start of the 20th century would go into trance. Their guide would take over their bodies and speak using their vocal cords. And it seems to have been what she was doing.
Exactly.
So this is a known phenomenon. This can happen. It's just very rare now, and it's fascinating that you got to observe it.
Many times. And what was the most unusual about Seth was his sense of humor. I mean, I walked in there, and everything up until then had been more, you know, connected somewhat with a sense of the divine. You know, Harry Edwards, his symbol was a cross within a circle, and he said the cross symbolized that spiritual healing came from God, and the circle symbolized that it was for all races, all religions, for all of mankind. There was always some kind of sense of reverence. And I walked into Jane Roberts' home, and she was chain-smoking cigarettes and drinking wine, cracking jokes, cursing, and Seth was very similar. And so my first response was, well, this isn't very spiritual, because I have my own beliefs about what spirituality should look like. I expected incense and lights off, and the lights were on, and the wine was being passed, and Seth's whole attitude was, celebrate your life. There's nothing wrong with who or what you are. The main teaching within it was that you create your own reality by what you focus upon. I do believe that we influence our reality very, very much so. But I think there's other factors, and I think it's gotten so oversimplified, the message, by people, that people get cancer and then feel guilty because they think they gave it to themselves. And you see, this is the stuff that why I had to take Healing from the Inside Out, which was a good book in itself, and add on and the outside in, is because of all this that I want to speak, that I'm speaking to now. You know, where you people take these concepts and end up locking themselves into a very, very bad place, because anytime something goes wrong, rather than being able to be there as a friend for themselves, they're beating themselves up because they made it happen. And I will tell you most assuredly that if you lose a child in this world and you believe that way, you might as well go into a room and never come out, because we're not God. And I tell this to bereaved parents all the time. They're beating themselves up because they were too much soft love, or they didn't give enough soft love.
Okay, but see, now you're talking like the Sherry who is reformed. I'd like to talk for a minute about the period when you were, what did you call yourself, a new age?
A new age jerk.
It's only natural that someone who has been through what you've been through, a literal miracle, and discovers that's a repeatable miracle, there's a science behind it, and just discovered the source for that science and really does this research, where you were when you were in your, say, 30s, it's perfectly understandable.
You're absolutely right. My fear of being ill was so great that I took those ideas and wrapped myself up in them like the biggest comfort blanket, because I reasoned that as long as my beliefs were in line, I would never, ever become ill again. And so, yes, of course I loved it. Of course it was wonderful. But I'll tell you a very interesting anecdote. When my son Danny, the one who passed, when he was in kindergarten, his teacher had a mastectomy. So naturally, all the mothers were talking about mammograms. And it came out that everyone in the group who was having the discussion had had mammograms, except yours truly, who believes she didn't have to get them. So,
because she was thinking herself well. She was not thinking any kind of illness.
No, that's right. But can't we goddamn hedge our bets? You know, just because you think something, you think you're that powerful. And what about this soul choice stuff? Doesn't that contradict this? If your soul chose then for you to be a bereaved, you know, lose a child or get cancer, because that was its journey, is it then your beliefs in the moment? Or was it your soul's choice? There are questions here, and that's what I want to do, is raise them so people stop putting themselves in the guilt, you know, and feeling that they're... It's oversimplified.
What we're talking about now, of course, has nothing to do with New Age. It has to do with the science of the greater reality, of which New Age practitioners have discovered little parts of. And because they've discovered parts that are true, at least from the perspective from which they approach them, because they've discovered these bits, they can carry them to an extreme where, as you say, the beliefs become important to them, not the pursuit of the truth behind those beliefs or behind what caused the beliefs, but the beliefs themselves are what they focus on. And I think that was the problem.
Like that thing about the elephant and the blind people. You know, I'm sure you've heard the analogy.
Of course.
And you know,
it's very good. Tell it, dear, because that's a good.
I hope I remember it right, that it has something to do with taking a handful of blind people and letting them describe to you what the reality is of an elephant, that they're all touching different parts. So the blind man touching the toe nail would say, well, it's smooth and it's kind of, you know, and then someone touching the tail would say, well, it's not smooth.
This is a rope. Yes.
Right, it's not smooth. And so, again, we're all getting pieces, and that's fine. We just have to remember to live in the question. You know how I put it? I say if there was a big mosaic, say the mosaic of life, you know, and there's all these little pieces that go into making that picture, one piece I call the mystery piece. And before that piece, I am forever humbled. And that's the piece that maybe there's something you just don't know. That's why I say, stay humble, because you don't know what's always coming around the corner. And Yes, I took these ideas and I put them on me as a comfort blanket, and for a long time they worked, but I wanted to finish the story. The woman had the breast, you know, the mastectomy.
Oh, that's right, back to the mastectomy, yes.
Right, and that night I was on the phone with a friend, and I'm telling her why I don't need to get mammograms. And I'm telling her, look, I would not create cancer, I create my own reality, and that's just not something I would create, so why should I get mammograms? And I did not realize at the time that my 10-year-old son, Aaron, my oldest son, was standing in the doorway listening. So when I get off the phone, he comes up to me, 10 years old, and he says, Mom, do you know for a fact that you wouldn't create cancer? And I said, well, honey, I guess I don't know it for a fact. He said, oh, and so you'd find out about it when it was too late to do anything about it, and that's how you take care of us.
Oh, what
and
a
that's
brilliant
when I went,
kid.
Oh, God, damn it. Now I got to get mammograms. But I
how
about
the guilt? The mom guilt is very easy to trigger. Oh, wow.
Well, it wasn't just that, but it was just a realization that he was right.
Yes,
that
he was
I
totally
didn't
right,
know it
of course.
For a fact. And he's always been more logical than me, this boy. And you know, and I it just hit me that the fact was I didn't know who the hell I think I was just because I know this. That gives me access to the perfect life? Well, if I'm a sole choice, that was also in the cards for me. Who do I think I am, you know? So
right.
I realized that we had to balance this all out with our humanity. You know, we're gods in creaturehood, yes, that's what Seth said, but we're also in creaturehood. And we make mistakes, and we don't know everything. And when you have that mystery piece as part of the puzzle, and you accept that it's there, then you are humbled. And I think you're in a much better position.
Yeah.
Because if you're, I call it the empty boat theory, and I have a little blurb about this in the book also, that if you take, using your life as an analogy to a boat, and if you think you know what truth is, in a sense, you fill your boat with everything that you know. You know, you fill up
yeah.
every area with all the things you know. You leave enough room for yourself, and you go, hey, you know, I've got it made. You know,
I'm
this
all
is
set
it.
Now. Right.
Right. But then when you go to a foreign shore, you have no room to take anything new on. It's like you've created it. You think it's a fortress, but it's a prison. And that's what I thought. I thought I had a fortress with death, and when I had this recurrence of Crohn's, I was in no position to help myself. I felt so responsible for the disease. I couldn't be responsible to the disease. And I couldn't be kind to myself. And that's what Inside Out, Outside, you know,
yeah.
Outside In is going to talk about that the first book didn't.
No, it's terrific. The latter part of the book really makes the first part make sense. It brings your life on a trajectory, which I think is important for people, especially people who are struggling with issues, don't even have to be health issues, how to sort of organize your life so that you're on top of it again and can make sense of it. But,
well, and that's what the healing program is. You know, there's a huge healing program in there that
yes.
I have worked with, that I put together from all the best stuff I learned over the years and other stuff that just came to me that I knew I needed to do. And it has to do with partly learning to work with the energy, learning to draw in energy into you and direct it to your body and direct it to others. But then there's a whole piece for working with the nuts and bolts of your own mind, for using your meditative state instead of being upset when your mind goes into some kind of thought. You observe what it is and you jot it down, and you after a while begin to see all the habitual stuff that is in your repertoire of top, you know, we all have our top 10, you know, of
yeah.
issues. And just by observing your mind, the program shows you how to then look at the things that come up and categorize them into judging, worrying, planning. You begin to see the nuts and bolts of how your mind works, and then the next step is to reprogram, because we're our own hypnotists. And, you know, we've been according to Bruce Lipton, by the time we're 6 years old, we've taken in we've downloaded a great many of the beliefs about whether we're worthy, whether we're good, from caretakers who may have meant well, but probably offset a lot of things that we downloaded that weren't to our benefit, but we can work with that. We just have to get, so the healing program is to help people come to terms, change what they can change, and what you can't change, learn to accept. Learn, you know, get off the perfection kick and learn to embrace your individuality, because that's who you are.
I want to make sure that we get to talk about Danny, too, and we're coming to the final minutes, believe it or not, of our conversation. So for me, the takeaway from that was what I think is the future of medicine going to be, because you know we started with your health problems. And you, what you found was you were able, by using an energy healer, which is,
right.
I think, going to be a powerful tool in the future once people understand what really is going on. So an energy healer, and also your own learning to empower yourself by just
the way you think and talk to yourself, with the dialogue
right.
that goes on, what goes on between those two ears all day long. And the other outside in is I have learned to up my nutrition. I have, you know, I used to think when I was in DSAP I could just live on pizza all day because I believe, as long as
your
I believe.
Your mind over matter, yes, totally.
And now I've gotten to the point where I'm on a number of really healthy supplements that I think have made an enormous difference in my health. I didn't take exercise at all seriously when I was younger. I didn't think it mattered. I think, again, the middle roads, one from column A, two from column B. It's not either
or. But
that's
the important thing, I think, about your book, that what you're showing people is how even if you have what should have really be life-threatening diseases, you've been able to manage them, and you're going
very
to live
well.
A normal lifespan, apparently, with them, and in reasonably good health, because you have
very accepted, reasonably.
Yes, you have accepted spiritual healing and energy healing. You've accepted the fact that your mind is powerful and you're using those things, but you also have accepted the fact that you live in a material body, and there are things that doctors and nutrition and common sense about your body can also help you with. So what you've come up with, I think, is extremely important, and that's an integrated way to maximize your own well-being mentally and physically.
Right.
And that's how I would sum up your book. But my job is to help you connect with people that you can help. I mean, someone told me long ago, I didn't know at the time it was my spirit guide when I decided I was an expert. I woke up one morning realizing he had told me, you're not the expert, your job is to point to the experts. And I've been pointing to the experts for the past 10 years and happy to do it. So, but I want to talk about Danny.
There is a
podcast in our archive where Sherry and I talk about what happened with Danny and the fact that he had died of a drug overdose. I think it's from February of 2016, so it's recent. And I just urge you to listen to that for more information. But how he was 22, wasn't he, when he died?
Danny was 22, and he overdosed, accidental, I'm sure, but he always admitted he was very reckless. But again, I started in all of this so young that I knew that Daniel would be in the spirit realm, and I already knew so many mediums. And so one week after Danny passed, one week to the day, I was having a reading with medium Glenn Dove, and Dan came through, and it was as if we continued the conversation from where we left off the week before. And that is why I wrote my book, Lost and Found, A Mother Connects Up with Her Son in Spirit, because I began to realize, I don't consider myself a medium, but I began to realize that Dan was influencing my thoughts, telling me how he felt, that there are so many ways that our loved ones really are giving us heads up, but we're just not aware of it. We think it's all daydreams. We dismiss 90% of it. So I wrote the book to share all the ways in the first 2 years after Danny passed that he made his presence known, and how much I would not have realized was coming directly to me had it not been verified by the mediums. How subtle it is, how easy it is for us to be getting messages and not realize it. Because everyone can do it if I can do it.
Oh, yes, and you don't need to be psychic. All you need to be is open-minded, and I think it helps a great deal for you to be educated about what's actually going on, because grief can be an absolute barrier to the kind of wonderful relationship you and Danny now have. So,
I'm so grateful for it. He's just the greatest, and I will tell the listeners, if you are, any of you out there are bereaved parents, you're welcome to register your child with the prayer registry for prayer. We pray for each child on the anniversary day of their passing. No parent has to go through that alone. There is no fee to join. I run the prayer registry completely free of charge. You can find it just by going to sherrypearl.com and then hit on the prayer registry, and it will tell you how to reach me to register your child. You don't do it on the website. You send it to the email address of the prayer registry. But you can find out all that information by going to www.sherrypearl.com, and that's SHERIPERL. You can find me, and Google's got me all over, and I'm more than happy to help.
Well, that's wonderful. One of the things that really I think is wonderful and noble is that here you are, a really sick lady who's not sick at all because of the way you manage yourself. Plus, you're helping parents who've lost their children. And there are other mothers, too, that I've met, and I've interviewed some of them who are reaching out to try to help other parents.
Uh-huh.
More and more
Absolutely.
Parents who have lost their children are understanding not only are they not alone, but there are people who are desperate to help them, very eager to share the good news. Anybody who knows you is going to know this is real, what you're doing with Danny, and they'll also know they can do it too if it's important to them.
Absolutely. And you know there's Helping Parents Heal, which I am the affiliate leader in New York.
Are you really? We just interviewed Elizabeth.
Boisson
is her. She's one of the founders,
yes.
and she's just delightful. She's also in a recent podcast. There are other organizations that don't want you to talk about what we talk about so freely, and I think that harms parents because they really do have the ability to connect with their kids. Let's help them do
that. It's the only solace there really is, and I don't care what priest, rabbi you go to. When you connect up with your child, the joy is unbelievable. I do it. I get so much pleasure because when a parent, sometimes it takes me many months and many emails back and forth before I get a parent to have reading and move forward. But when they, or just read my book and realize they're getting signs, but when they do, the transformation is like the sun coming up. It's such a joy. And I think we all realize that when we work with others and help them, we are lifted through that.
In feeding others, we are fed. Oh, that's so true. We're going to have to do this again before long.
Sure.
I'm sorry, but we have come to the end of our time.
Okay, well, thank you so much for giving me this opportunity. I appreciate it, Roberta. Thank you.
You're welcome, dear. Meanwhile, this has been Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. You are a powerful, eternal being. You never began, you never will end. And when you fully grasp all that means, it's going to change everything in your life for the better. Our guests next week will be Victor and Wendy Zammit of Sydney, Australia. They've been fighting for acceptance of the truth for 30 years. By now, they've wrestled down and, I think, pretty much destroyed all organized opposition. In fact, their decades-old million-dollar challenge no longer even seems to get inquiries from would-be debunkers who are hoping to make all of this go away. The afterlife evidence is so broad that Victor and Wendy will be talking next week about just one important aspect of it. I've asked them to choose that topic, and what they've chosen is this: what the afterlife evidence tells us about God and the devil. Our guest this week has been Sherry Pearl. Sherry chose as a part of her life plan some pretty difficult spiritual lessons, and she's done a wonderful job with them. Her books include Healing from the Inside Out and the Outside In, where she talks about her own experiences with spirit, with spiritual healing, and with growth. Her most recent book, Lost and Found, describes her efforts and her son's efforts to resume their loving relationship after Danny transitioned at 22, and they're the best friends they've ever been in their lives right now. Each of us is on our own version of Sherry Pearl's journey of trials, discoveries, and growth. We can plan some very tough lessons into some of our lives, and as Sherry has so beautifully found, Spirit is always ready to help us to use our challenges for ever more spiritual growth. Your life, too, contains both challenges and the ready help of Spirit, and if you are only willing to accept Spirit's gifts, you too can make the very most of your life. But for now, please enjoy and make the most of this coming week in our one reality, knowing that you are a powerful, eternal being, and you are infinitely loved.
You've been listening to Seek Reality with Roberta Grimes. Roberta blogs and answers questions at robertagrimes.com. Join us every week as we explore what the afterlife evidence and modern science combine to tell us is true about the one reality we all share. Knowing the truth changes everything.